Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
A meeting today could help determine the future of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S. Plus, it's the start of earnings season.
If earnings doesn't deliver, companies don't deliver on what people expect, then the stock market could take a hit.
Our finance editor in London will help set the stage. And Coinbase, the country's largest cryptocurrency exchange, prepares to make its public debut. It's Wednesday, April 14th. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal, and this is what's news. A federal advisory panel is set to meet today to debate the use of Johnson & Johnson's single-shot COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S. going forward. As we talked about last night on the show, use of the vaccine has been put on pause following reports of rare but severe blood clots among some recipients. According to a draft agenda, members will look at data gathered on 6 women between the ages of 18 and 48 years who developed blood clots. They'll give their recommendation to the CDC. Johnson & Johnson has said it's working with health authorities. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. We'll also be keeping watch on shares of Coinbase as it's set to begin trading publicly today. It's the largest Bitcoin exchange in the U.S. WSJ Markets columnist Mike Bird has more on what's behind its rising valuation.
So the increase in the company's valuation is pretty massive. In a 2018 fundraising round, it was valued at $8 billion. It's now valued at around $65 billion. So fairly large increase, basically surfing on the wave of booming interest and booming volumes in cryptocurrency and Bitcoin in particular. You see that with its earnings as well, which are expected to be double in the first quarter what they were in the whole of last year. And I think as long as you see that sort of interest booming, you would expect that sort of strong financial performance. It's really all based on that big interest in crypto at the moment.
The head of Toshiba has stepped down under pressure from shareholders. Chief Executive Nobuaki Kuromitani resigned a week after the company said it had received an acquisition offer from private equity firm CVC Capital Partners. Any deal to acquire Toshiba would likely value the company at more than $20 billion. And a third night of protests in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center. Minnesota State Patrol said there were dozens of arrests. As we mentioned yesterday, both the Brooklyn Center police chief and the officer who killed 20-year-old Dante Wright resigned. Police say Wright was killed during a traffic stop Sunday when an officer accidentally shot him with her gun instead of her taser. In a WSJ exclusive, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is urging lawmakers to oppose the Democratic-backed voting bill. It said the bill would place restrictions on the political advocacy of businesses. The WSJ viewed a draft letter in which the chamber also calls for bipartisanship in making any voting changes on both the state and federal level. And today, President Biden is expected to announce the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan by September 11th. We'll also be watching any comments on the recent uptick in inflation from Fed Chair Jerome Powell. He's speaking virtually to the Economic Club of Washington. Just ahead, it's the start of earnings season. We'll talk about what to expect after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
From banks to airlines, earnings season is underway. Starting today, we'll be getting an idea of just how well some of the biggest companies are doing. Last time we heard from them, the economy was weathering a surge in coronavirus cases across the U.S. Now, 3 months later, we'll be catching a glimpse of their performance amid the vaccination rollout. Joining me now to discuss what to watch for is our Europe Finance editor, Alex Frangos. Alex, great to have you here.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here.
So, Alex, we're seeing some early signs of a pickup. Uber just reported a record for monthly bookings in March. Is this momentum going to be reflected in other industries as we start to get these quarterly results?
I mean, definitely, that's what investors seem to think is coming. And I think companies have flagged that the economy is really, you know, starting to open up. You're getting the effect of several slugs of stimulus from the government. But the main thing is just people are doing stuff again. They're getting in their cars, they're going shopping, they're going back to school, they're doing stuff. And, you know, that is showing up in the activities of companies. They're getting customers again.
Today will be a big day for banks with JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Goldman Sachs reporting quarterly results. How are banks viewing the economic rebound?
Yeah, I mean, well, the bank stocks are up a ton this year because investors are anticipating that good times are ahead. You know, just as the economy opens up, interest rates have gone up a little bit in terms of bond yields. That helps banks because then they can charge a little bit more for their loans and make a little bit more money. But they're also very optimistic. You had Jamie Dimon last week, the head of JP Morgan, you know, who said, the U.S. economy will likely boom in the years ahead. And then there's a whole bunch of things that happened last year when the banks were hunkered down to protect themselves from the pandemic. They took these big, what are called loan loss reserves, you know, basically a cushion, a rainy day fund in case all these, you know, they had a bunch of loan defaults. The loan defaults haven't happened. Now that they can release those loan loss reserves back into as a profit, basically. And so that makes their bottom lines look really good.
Let's focus on retail and transportation. Whether you're H&M or Delta Airlines, the fact that people have been moving more freely over the past 3 months certainly is a boost. What else is influencing potential growth besides vaccines and more people returning to work?
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the things is there's some pent-up savings, especially among higher-income Americans, you know, who've been at home. They haven't been going out to dinner. They haven't been going on trips. But a lot of them in, you know, kind of in jobs where they can work from home have been, you know, earning salaries and saving money. Plus, everyone's been, not everyone, but almost everyone's been getting these stimulus checks. So there's a lot of money and people want to spend it. People want to have family reunions. People want to get a new outfit. You know, they haven't gone clothes shopping in a really long time. And, you know, there's just this sense that there's a lot of pent up demand. And that difference, that could matter to companies, especially that have a lot of international business. Things are really good in the U.S., but not so good in Europe, which, you know, is still a big customer for, you know, if you're an H&M, you know, you got a lot of stores in Europe, you got a lot of, you know, consumers there. If you're an airline with a lot of international travel, well, there's not a lot of people going to be doing international travel. So that part of it is a bit of a mixed bag. The thing that investors are going to be looking for is not so much what's happened in the first quarter. I think we have a pretty good idea of what's gone on. It's really going to be, what are CEOs saying about next quarter and the quarter after that? How are things shaping up? Are they getting really excited? Are they going to be, you know, adding back capacity, hiring again, you know, because they see just this swell of demand? Or are they being cautious? And you know, I think that's something that people are going to be looking for.
Finally, let's talk about how investors are going to be thinking about these earnings reports as they come in. Assuming we see some growth in the first quarter, does that necessarily mean stocks will continue to rise, or is there more to it than that?
You know, I think the market has done really, really well. It's up almost 10% this year, and that is baking in that the first quarter was already good. So if earnings doesn't deliver, companies don't deliver on what people expect, then the stock market could take a hit. So that's for one. And then for the market to keep going up, the investors need to hear those signals that business is going to continue to do well in the future. Because, you know, when the market's at a record high and valuations are at a record high, I mean, you're paying more for your stocks than you have, you know, over the last, than you would have seen over the last 5 years. that just means that the expectations are higher, and so companies have to deliver. So this is not about what's happened in the past. It's really about, can they deliver in the future?
Busy days ahead for you and your team. Europe Finance Editor Alex Frangos, many thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
And finally, in Nepal, an unusual method to keep track of the country's one-horned rhinos. The latest rhino census data shows the population has grown, likely with a little help from the country's COVID-19 lockdowns. With nature reserves shut for most of the year, endangered animals had more freedom to roam, congregate, and mate. But just how do you count these often solitary creatures? With the help of elephants, of course. The journal's Krishna Pokhrel has more from Kathmandu.
The terrain is so difficult. It's not like you're going out on a jeep safari where you are on a set track and then you're just following the animals along the track. But here you are venturing into the part of the jungle where nobody would have gone before. They would need to use the elephant because these elephants would make way through this thick jungle by, you know, at times stomping down on the logs on the way or uprooting small trees. That would be practically impossible to do on foot.
And that's What's News for Wednesday. We'll be back tonight with a new show. And now that it's earnings season, a reminder, we'll keep you posted on results on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.